Okay, everybody, Sefer Vayikra, which is always challenging, truly rewarding, to be totally honest, because if you look into what amounts to a book all about korbanos, more or less, obviously there are plenty of different topics in it, but the first two parshas, certainly, and definitely this week's parsha, Vayikra, are all about korbanos, and if you delve into the details, there really are some tremendously beautiful messages. So I do encourage everybody to kind of take a deep dive as much as they can and kind of try and see what exactly these messages and the imagery and the imagery is. Let's just run through the parsha quickly. Again, Hashem calls to Moshe Rabbeinu and introduces the world of korbanos. You can have from animals, you can have from birds, you can have korban from flour, that's a korban mincha. They would have different types of bakings and fryings or whatever. The Torah says you should always bring salt with korbanos. Chazal explained that's because one of the reasons Chazal give is because all of the korbanos of the goyim used to be with honey, and we wanted to kind of counteract that a little bit. Okay, but either way, there's a korban shlamim, the korban chatos, the parsha talks about a parhelm. Well, that's the next, actually. A par bala kol mitzvos, which is if a kohen gadol has to bring a chatos, he brings a par instead of a sheep. Something called a par helm davar shel tzibor, which is if the Sanhedrin paskin is something that is mutter, really it's asher karis, they would bring a par. The korban chatos of a nasi, they talked about an asham, a korban ola v'yored, which is a korban that whatever you bring depends on how wealthy a person is. And then we'll talk about that. That's pretty fascinating. Something called an asham talui. If you're not sure if you're required an asham, so you'd bring an asham in case. And then the parsha ends off with a korban asham for theft. But again, we'll kind of focus mostly on the beginning. And then we'll give one of the, like we said before, we'll talk about the korban ola v'yored. But the first thing, Vayikra al Moshe. Right? Vayikra al Moshe, Nesiv HaShalom quotes Beis Avram, another one of the Slonim Rebbes, who points out that it doesn't say, right, who called to Moshe, right? It says, and he called, right, to Moshe, right? Vayikra el Moshe, right? So we know it's a Kosh Baruch Hu, but the Beis Avraham says, this is a remez, right, to the Zohar, that says, not that I've seen it inside, I've seen it inside the Seva Shalom, right? He quotes the Zohar that says that a bas kol comes out every single day and says to Am Yisrael, shuvu banim shovavim, right, return to me, my children, and do tshuva. That's the kriya that a Kosh Baruch Hu calls out to the heart of each and every Jew, every single day, and ask the Baal Shem Tov, Mimanav Shach, I don't understand. First of all, right, why don't we hear this call? Right? And if we don't hear it, right, we don't, right? We don't. It's not, you don't hear in your ears. If we don't hear it, then why does it go out? Right? So what's the point? So he explains that the Kriya, this Bas Kol that goes out every single day, creates a Hesorus, right? A renewal of inspiration and energy, right? In the hearts of each and every Jew. I'm watching, not really with any real interest, but I'm watching some of the protests that have been going on in Israel. And there's a clip where people are protesting outside Bnei Brak, and the loudspeakers, I guess, in response, I'm not sure exactly the details, because it's Thursday night, not Friday, but the loudspeakers in Bnei Brak are blasting Shalom Aleichem. Right, Shalom Aleichem, 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 right, with the nice chazan or whatever. And there's a video of one of the protesters there kind of breaking down into tears and just singing along, right? Again, getting very emotional, getting kind of inspired. So that's what we're talking about, that this Kriya, this Bas Kol comes out, right? Even some random Jew who's not associated at all gets a hint of Judaism and gets inspired. It's through this Kriya, it's through this Bas Kol, right, with the help and push of this Vayikra el Moshe, this Vayikra, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends out every single day. But on the other hand, right, you have to be able to hear it. Right, you have to, right, Moshe, again, the Gemara says in Yuma, Daftalid, Moshe was the only one who heard this Kriya. Right, Rashi quotes the Tanchuma, right? We have to be on the frequency to hear, right, the Kriya, to be listening for it, to be waiting for it. Yeah, right, as Rebbe mine used to say, you got to want it. Right, like the Beis Avram writes in a different insight into that pasuk, right? A different insight. He says, if you look at the Torah, again, inside the Chumash, the Aleph in Vayikra is little. Right? It's written Vayikar, right? Without, and you know, if you exclude the Aleph, it's Vayikar, which is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to other people. Let's say, for example, Bilam, Vayikar, is Lashon, that he just happened to show up. Right? Just happened to show up. Right? That's how the Torah, right, talks about when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Bilam. So, the pasuk says Vayikra, it has a little aleph, almost like it's Vayikar. Right? The most famous pshat for that is the Balaturin. The Balaturin writes that Moshe himself didn't want to write Vayikra because it was too much kavod, right? It was too much of like a humble brag. Moshe didn't want that much cover. He'd also rather have Vayikar. Right? Let Hashem appear to me randomly. Stam, not like I deserve it. Right? It just happened to be the Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, appeared to him. But the Beis Avraham says that when you combine the two pshatim, right, combine these two pshatim, right, that Hashem calls out, right, to Jews every single day, right, everything every single day. Vayikar El Moshe, Kodesh Baruch Hu calls out to us. There's a bas call that comes out to us, and Vayikar, right? It's just happenstance. Meaning, the Beis Avraham says, combine these two vortlach, and what that means is, right? Again, I'd like the Hasidim usually do, right? They take the literal meaning or the kind of vortlach, and they kind of change it into meaning something else, right? That Kodesh Baruch Hu calls out to us through the things that happen seemingly random to us. Meaning that Kodesh Baruch Hu calls out to us every single day through the seemingly happenstance type of occurrences, right, that happen to us. Everything that happens to us is really small vayikras, a really small kriyas, really small calling outs from Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Kodesh Baruch Hu calls us, Shuvo Banim Shovavim, right, come back to me, right, etc., etc. So that's what, everything that happens to a person, right, again, the Melech likes to quote all the time, that the Gemara that says that a person doesn't stub his toe without Gzeira Mishamayim, everything that happens to us, right, is whether we're, let's say, you know, choking on a cup of water, maybe that's the reminder we forgot to say a bracha, or anything that you can think of, right? All these seemingly random things are really Kodesh Baruch Hu calling out to us. And you see, the Shalom goes one step further. Right? So he says that all these things that happen to a person, right, they're all from Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? Even the difficult stuff, because sometimes it's a person who has a lot of difficulties in their life, right? And those difficulties should cause them, right, to doubt a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to doubt, to lose faith, to lose their emunah. Right? That person might wonder why they have such a difficult Yetzirah in this area, or that area, or whatever it is, that this person can barely overcome this Yetzirah, that Yetzirah. Right? A person, especially for for teens and people in their early 20s, right, if you have a very struggling with a specific Yetzirah, whatever it is, you might wonder why you have that Yetzirah, why you're unable, right, to overcome this area of halacha, why it's so hard, why it's so strong. But in truth, says in Siva Shalom, that everyone is put into this world to overcome some inyan, right? To be metaking, to fix something, right, in the world, and how they do their avodas Hashem. How do you know what that inyan is? So Siva Shalom says, most likely, that inyan is in the area in which you have the strongest Yetzirah, and where it's so difficult. Right? For that specific inyan, that's the bas call that comes out every single day to try and help that person overcome that specific area. Right? He quotes the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Vav, right? The Rambam quotes in Hilchos Tshuva, right? Hechi dami bal tshuva, right? How do you, what's a bal tshuva? Right? Ba'oso perek, ba'oso makom, right? In that time, in that same place, right? The same place you did in Avera, you get faced with it again. It says in the Siva Shalom, imagine that person, right? I'm sure everybody can think of an example of their own lives, right? So think about your own life. Something you've done, you've sinned before in this exact area, and it comes up again. All of us have had this, right? And now you're back in the same exact situation, right? What do you think? You don't think that it's likely for you to overcome that Avera. If you have fallen into this exact trap before, whatever Avera is that you're picking, that you're thinking about right now, you've obviously fallen before. So when it comes back and you're in that same exact situation again, what's the first thing in your mind is not like, oh, great, now I can overcome my Yetzirah. No, of course not. Person is thinking that, oh, here we go again. Now I'm going to fall and I'm going to, you know, violate this Isser again and again and again. Right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings you back to that situation for a reason. Right? Kodesh Baruch Hu brings you back to that situation to give you another chance. Right, to overcome, to be victorious over that taiva of, and the Yetzirah in that inyan specifically. That's the Vayikra, right, El Hashem. So the difficulty and the fight with the fact that you can't overcome Yetzirah in one area, it's not a punishment, right, that you keep on falling, and you keep on falling, and that you're having difficulty in your life, and Kodesh Baruch Hu is trying to send you this message, that message. Kodesh Baruch Hu is trying to enable you to get to the level that you're supposed to get to. Right? If it's one of the hardest things in your life, so that's the Indian you're supposed to be attacking. Maybe that's the Indian that you're supposed to work on. Right? And Hashem is giving you opportunity after opportunity to overcome. Right? Right? That's one of the inferences in the pasuk of Adam ki akriv mikem korban Hashem. Right? That's the second pasuk in the Zikt Parsha. Right? Or maybe it's the first. Second pasuk. Adam ki akriv mikem korban Hashem. Adam, a person, ki akriv mikem, brings from him a korban Hashem. That's how we introduce the whole topic of korbanos. Obviously, the main shot of the pasuk is that this is, you know, we're talking about korbanos. But the Hasidic way of taking the literal translation right outside of the context and learning a lesson from it, what does it mean? Adam ki akriv mikem, a person will bring mikem, from him, mikem umeetzmechem, I says in the Siddur Shalom, from him and from themselves, right? From your personal midos, from your inclination, from your nature, from all the things that are difficult to them, that's where a person brings a korban. That's where a person brings an offering to give of themselves to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right, and even further says the Shiva Shalom, and the pasuk says mina beima mina bakar mina tzon. Right, that's the hemshach of the pasuk. Right, from the korban comes from the animals, meaning what does the Yetzer Hara try to do? It tries to get you to behave like an animal. Right, a person gives of themselves to overcome their animalistic drives and their animalistic desires. That's a korban l'Hashem. Right, that is us giving of ourselves to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right, that's what's asked of us. And the Baal HaTanya says, Adam ki akriv mikem. Why, Baal HaTanya says, why does it say like that? Right? Why doesn't it say, Adam mikem ki akriv? Right? It says, a man of you, right, when he brings a korban. So it doesn't say that. It says, a man, when he will bring from you a korban. Right? It's out of order. It should have said, one of the Jews, brings a korban. It doesn't say that. It says, one of the Jews will bring a korban from you. Right? A person who will bring a korban from the Jews. What is that? So what he said, the Torah is telling us, is that at the beginning of all explanations of the korbanos, that first and foremost, a person has to bring of themselves, right? Barosh v'rishonok al adam lahakriv is asmo lifnei boro. Person has to, first of all, has to bring of themselves to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Therefore, it says adam ki akriv. When a person, when he brings, what do they bring? He brings mikem. He brings from themselves. So that's the Indian. At the beginning of the Parsha, the Kodesh Baruch Hu calls to us every single day, right? He calls to us in the areas that are difficult to us, right? Vayikar, and perhaps from all the random things that happen to us, those are messages, right? That Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, calls to us and tries to give us chizuk in the areas where we are necessarily struggling. And the whole goal of a korban is to yakriv mikem, is to give of yourself. Right now that we obviously don't bring korbanos nowadays, right? Certainly to give of ourselves to Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? And kind of, you know, realize that that's really the whole tachlis, right? Of what we're here to do on this earth. All right, another quick vort, just a quick idea. The Gemara says Menachos Daf Kuf Yud that the Torah basically points out that there are several things that you can bring a korban from, right? There's animals, there's birds, there's flour, right? Interestingly enough, the Medrash says that fish is not one of them, because fish anatomically, they don't have the same anatomy as humans, right? Animals already, birds are already similar, but fish are completely foreign, right? They need water to breathe, etc. It's a completely different animal, so that's not shaykh, right? The goal is to see the animal on the mizbeach and think that it's related to you, right? Fish wouldn't do that. Okay, interesting. But tachlis, the Gemara says, the pasuk says that you're allowed to bring animals, you're allowed to bring birds, you're allowed to bring flour, and by all of them, it says, yishereach nechoach l'Hashem, that it was you burn it on the fire, and it's terribly translated, but a satisfying aroma to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I mean, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is happy, right? The smell, right? The Kodesh Baruch Hu is happy with that korban. That phrase is repeated by all of those scenarios. As the Gemara, the Mishnah, really, in Menachos, Daf Kuf Yud, right? It says that whenever a person, whatever a person brings, whether it's an ola, whether it's an animal, it's a bird, it's a mincha, that's regardless, right? That Kodesh Baruch Hu accepts and loves each of them equally. And regardless of whether it gives a lot, a person gives a lot, or whether a person gives a little, as long as his libo, his lechavin l'shamayim, right, is focused on heaven, right? To make sure that people don't think that, oh, I can't afford an animal, so I'm giving a cup of flour. It doesn't seem to be very inspiring, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu loves that exactly the same. He loves that exactly the same. The Medrash tells a story about King Agrippas, Jewish King Agrippas, right? He has a street, I guess, named after him. I guess that's why he's famous nowadays. But he said one day, I'm not even sure how you could do this, but he told the Kohen Gadol, the Medrash says, he told the Kohen Gadol, all right, Beis HaMikdash is closed today. I'm offering 1,000 korbanos. Okay. So, Seder, King says so, Kohen Gadol says, okay, animals start lining up, 1,000 korbanos. A poor man who had not heard the decree of the king showed up with a couple of birds. He said, I want to bring these as a korban. Korban Gadol says, sorry, pal, we're closed. We're busy, or whatever. So the poor man said, I need you to bring these korbanos, because every single day I go hunting, and I end up getting four birds. Now, my family only needs two birds to live. But so I, obviously, the extra birds that I catch, right, are for the Mizbeach, are for Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if you don't let me bring these korbanos, right, so I'm not going to end up getting four birds. I'm only going to end up getting two birds, and then I'm going to have to bring those as a korban, and my family won't have anything to eat. So the Kohen Gadol accepted this and said, that's pretty good, right? Again, if you have that mindset that you catch whatever you need for the day, right, and the rest is for Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? So he thought that was a pretty appropriate mindset, that parnasa comes from Hashem, right? Again, we've talked about these in Yanin. So he accepted the korban. That night, Medrash says that King Agrippa had a dream that the poor man's korban was more pleasing, was a better reach nichach to Hakadosh Baruch Hu than his 1,000 korbanos. So first of all, he got really upset because wanted to find out who dared bring a korban the day he said everything was closed. So he sent a message to the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol told them the story, and the king accepted that story. In the sense that a person needs to bring the korban is right. It's not about the korban. Right? It's not about the thing that you're offering. Right? It's not about all types of things. It's about what you're doing with it. Right, inside, what's going on in your head? Right, about the machshava. Right, the Ramban writes that the purpose of the korbanos is to correspond to different types, to different realms of averos, with machshava and maisa and speech. Right, the person sins in three ways: through actions, through speech, and through thoughts. So again, the what a person's supposed to do when he brings a korban is supposed to impact them. So the fact that he's bringing whatever he's bringing is irrelevant. Right, as long as, right, obviously it has to be al pi halacha, but it has to be, right, echad amar bevechad amamid beval sheichavim l'shamayim, as long as he's focused on the right things and it's having the right impact, so regardless of whether you bring a cup of flour, vaguely, right, not exactly a cup, but whether you bring a bit of flour or you bring an animal, right, it's irrelevant that Kosh Baruch Hu loves that exactly the same, as long as you have the good intentions. So then everything is great. Okay, let's just talk about the korban ola v'yored a little bit, because we have to give an example of one of the korbanos. And again, like I said, I encourage a deep dive into the other halachos of the korbanos. Right, it has really beautiful significance for us. But anyway, the korban ola v'yored was brought in several situations. Right, if the person did an aver b'shogeg, or let's say, for example, he came into the Beis Hamikdash when he was tamei, right, or he swore in Beis Din. He didn't know anything about a court case, but he lied. He swore to do something but he didn't do it. Right? Okay. Other situations, you bring a korban ola. That's an ola v'yored, and it's called that not because it goes up and down on the mizbeach, but because as we mentioned before, that the expense of the korban varies. Right? It's ola, it goes up if you're wealthy, and v'yored, it goes down. Right? If you're not, if a person is rich, then they would bring an animal for a chatas. If a person is poorer, really, they would bring two birds, right? One for a chatas, one for an ola, and if they really couldn't afford that, they'd bring a korban mincha. So Rav Melech Biderman asks, I don't understand. I get it that the poor person might not be able to afford an animal, so they bring a couple of birds. But what with the rich person brings an animal for a chatas. The poor person brings two birds, one for a chatas and one for an ola. What do you need the ola for? What do you need the ola for? A korban ola v'yored, right? You need, technically, usually is a chatas. Again, as we mentioned, some sort of avera that he did, right? Whether he swore or whatever. So why would he bring an ola? So Ben Ezra explains, right? It says, and the line is what he writes is just to quote it: that bavur shel tagia yadal ulai ala al ruho machshava, right? Because since lo tagia yadal, he wasn't wealthy enough. Ulai, maybe. Allah al ruho machshava. Maybe he had some sort of machshava, some sort of thought, some sort of inappropriate thought. In other words, as the Gemara says in Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi says in Yoma, a korban ola atones for inappropriate thoughts, right? And some sort of, again, when we say the phrase inappropriate thoughts, that means like immoral thoughts, but there are many types of inappropriate thoughts. So a korban ola would come to atone for that. Maybe this poor person saw that he couldn't bring a korban in the form of an animal. Maybe he thought something against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe he thought, why did Hashem make me poor? Why is my portion less than my friend's portion? Why can't I bring a proper corn, but I also want to bring a sheep? Why I can't afford it. Why did Hashem make me so poor? So therefore, the Torah made him bring an ola as well to atone for this potential, right? In a lack of satisfaction, a lack of approval of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's plan in the world. It says Rav Melech, I don't understand. The Gemara Kiddushin, the Flamites, it says that machshava ra in a Kadosh Baruch Hu mitzdarfa lemaisa, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does not consider inappropriate thoughts as if they were actions. Meaning a person thinks to do an avera, doesn't actually do it, so you don't need a kapara for that. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't count that. Right? A person doesn't have to bring a kapara for improper thoughts that didn't manifest, right, into action. So why does the poor person have to bring a korban for maybe questioning a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Right? He thought it occurred to him, oh, I wish I was rich, oh, I don't understand Hashem. But that's it. He didn't go and, steal $1 million. So why does he have to bring a korban for questioning Kadosh Baruch Hu? So Rav Melech answers that you have to say the following, because the Gemara in Kedushin, the Flamites, qualifies this rule. Right? When do we say that inappropriate thoughts, whether it's this a thought of an Isser doesn't count, Hashem doesn't count it? That's only if it's not Avodah Zarah. But by an improper thought of Avodah Zarah, Kadosh Baruch Hu came to start for Lamaisa. By someone thinks of Avodah Zarah for a second, obviously if he doesn't bow down, but he thinks of some sort of Avodah Zarah, so Kadosh Baruch Hu does count that. So the improper thought that the Ani had, why did Kadosh Baruch Hu make me poor, terrible, I don't understand, why is my lot worse than everybody else's? That's like Avodah Zarah. That's like Shemitz of Kfirah. That's a little bit like Avodah Zarah. Right? He has to bring a korban ola for these thoughts, because that's something that a Kadosh Baruch Hu counts, and that's extremely powerful. Like, we think of Avodah Zarah as, like, you know, bowing down to Buddha or whatever, but questioning Hashem, questioning God's ways, right? We that's obviously valuable, right? When you're learning, especially when you're younger and you're trying to, you know, figure out things and prove God and this, that, and the other thing. So we that's obviously a healthy exercise, and it needs to be done to come to an understanding of Kadosh Baruch Hu. But we don't think of questioning God as Avodah Zarah. Right? That we don't think about so much. That's almost like excused. Rav Melech says that's a bit of Avodah Zarah. Right? Everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu does is Gam Zula Tova. And now you're not interested. What, you think Hashem is out to get you? That's a Shemitz of Avodah. That smacks of Avodah Zarah. You don't understand how it's good for you? Okay, fine. Seder, but that's what it says in Tehillim, right? The Pasuk says, Rav Melech quotes Pasuk in Tehillim, in Perek Tzadi Beis, Ish bar lo yada, uksil lo yavin azos. Right? A fool doesn't understand this. Yeah, okay, a fool doesn't understand what's going on in the world. In Echanami, we don't necessarily understand what Hashem is doing, but we have to have a proper emunah bitachon, that Hashem is taking care of us, that Gamzu l'tova, and if we start questioning, so that's like a Shemitz of Avodah Zarah. That's a bit of Avodah Zarah. Right? Rav Melech is a great mashal. He said he heard from a dear Jew. I don't know who he heard it from. He must not remember. Right? He said he heard a great mashal. He said, once a baby, right, was crying for milk from his bottle. So father looks all over for the bottle. And he realizes that the baby is holding the bottle and it's empty. So what does the father do? Obviously, he takes the bottle from the baby. Now you can imagine the screams of the baby get even louder. Right, the father, he's asking for food, kid's hungry. The father takes the bottle away. From the baby's point of view, the father is taking away his bottle. But what's the father doing? He's just taking it away in order to fill it up. Says Rav Melech, we're the baby. We're all the babies. Kadosh Baruch Hu is just taking something from us, right, so he can give us more. Right, so he can fill up our bottle. We, in our own immature minds, think that Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking something from us. But really, it's just in order to give us more bracha and more atzlacha. And Dafka now says Rav Melech, in the name of Rav Menachem Nachum Mibuyan Chernowitz, that's the rabbi that he quotes, that just like Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha, so too Mishenichnas Nisan Marbim Be'emuna. Right, when Nisan comes in, right, we start working on our emuna, as the Yalkut Shimoni says. Right, Benisan Nigalu, Benisan Asidinli Goel. Right, in Nisan, Jews were redeemed because of their emuna, because of the emuna, first and foremost of the women, but also of Am Yisrael. That emuna and bitachon that Hashem will redeem them, and in Nisan mitzvah Hashem we will be zochah to be redeemed. And this is the time. This is right. Emuna, the basis of all of our faith is Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to us through the Makos, through all the miracles, etc. Now's the time to kind of work on our emunah bitachon, right, and use the Pesach and use the Chag, right, to kind of improve and get ourselves flying in that area, so we can work towards Matan Torah and Bizocha for Gula Shlema. Amen. Ken Yiratzen. Have a great Shabbos, everybody.